just a game. For I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're a heel. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field, our heroes wear pins.
There we go.
Sing it.
All right.
Oh, that feels
Eddie
good.
Eddie Vedder. A man who is Eddie Vedder's a hero, but here's a man who's even a bigger hero to me, Mr. Bob Costas, who is on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And he's going to be calling. This is kind of interesting, Bob. This is very cool. You're going to be actually calling Game 2 here on Saturday night, which is a 7 o'clock start, for the MLB Network. And this, now people have been saying, oh, well, I don't know if I get the MLB Network. MLB Network is going to make themselves available on all the systems for these games, right?
Pretty much. I imagine there might be small pockets unable to get it, but they've expanded it, I think, to around 90%, which is a good thing.
Yeah, so that's good. I think it, and in Chicago, and that's, damn it, Bob, that's what we're concerned about. Damn it. It appears it's going to be okay.
You know what? But here, I start out behind the eight ball because you got every Pearl Jam fan now upset with either you, me, or both of us. That was needless, bro. That was needless.
I know. It was not my choice. And I know because we cut it off, right?
I love
and
that
I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Play the music some more.
Right before the go all the way part, you faded out. Too.
I know.
Yeah, that was not good.
But Bob is on a time schedule here.
Yes, he is.
He does not have time to mess around.
Bob, there was speaking of being anxious, there was a headline involving you. You gave an interview with the Chicago Tribune. I would be more anxious about this round than any other if I were Cubs fans, and I thought I didn't want to mention that to Roe earlier because he'd freak out. But why'd you say that?
Well, I would say that about any team. The divisional series, being best of five, is more of a crapshoot than any best of seven, and the fluky nature of it is compounded by the fact that if it goes five games, you've got two off days. So that makes it unlike any five-game stretch that you'd normally find within a regular season and works against a better team, which generally has more depth. And certainly, although the Giants have two very good starting pitchers, Baumgartner's out of this world and Cueto has been terrific, they don't match up 3, 4, 5 behind the Cubs in terms of the depth of the rotation. The bullpen is not as good as the Cubs' bullpen. In fact, their bullpen has really struggled. But over the course of five games, strange things are more likely to happen than over the course of seven. And what I've advocated, I love the new idea of the second wild card. The first wild card had some flaws because sometimes it took the drama away from a close race because you always had the wild card to fall back on. And it took the justice away if you blew the other team out the way, let's say, the Cubs blew everybody out in the Central, then the wild card team just turned right around and had another shot at you in a best of five. That didn't make all that much sense. So I like the second wild card because it makes a distinction between being first and being the wild card, but I'd take it one step further. I'd make the divisional round best of seven, and when the second and third best division winners play, do the normal 2-3-2 format that you have in every other seven-game series since the beginning of baseball time. But when the best team in the league, in this case the Cubs, plays the wild card team, no matter who the wild card team is, go 2-2-3. So then that way, the best team has a potential 5 of 7 games at home. They've earned it. They were the best team in the entire league. It doesn't make it impossible for the wild card team, but it makes it appropriately more difficult. First, they have to win that wild card game. Then they would have to win a best of seven, not a best of five.
Right.
And if it goes the full seven, 5 of those 7 games are on the home field of the team that's earned it. Now, that's not the case now, so that's why, although I think the Cubs are the better team and they should be the favorites, and I expect them to win the series, this is the one that should have Cub fans on pins and needles more than any other.
But, okay. Bob, you don't have to keep saying it. I mean, you said it once. It's good enough. You are right about this, because I thought they were going to do away with the five-game series, because it seemed to me that that was, and as we will all recall, in 1984, those of us who follow these kinds of things, in 1984, it was the best of five. I mean, the Cubs going into that season and in 1984, you know, became a spectacle, as you will recall, on June 23rd, 1984, what happened against your beloved St. Louis Cardinals. The that was, you know, a game for all times, and I think that changed the trajectory of that year's Cubs team. And they went into the playoffs very hot, and then they just got, you know, they won two at home, and then boom, 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 boom. It was over in, you know, once it got to San Diego, and that was a problem.
And that was the LCS, because there was no division series,
right.
There was no wild card then,
right.
So that was the LCS best of five, and then on to a best of seven World Series. And even after they lost the two games in San Diego, and Steve Garvey hit the dramatic home run off Lee Smith, everybody still felt, well, it's okay because we got Rick Sutcliffe, and Sutcliffe was absolutely unbeatable once he came to the Cubs midway through that season, and they had a 3-0 lead in Game Five. As if Cubs fans need to relive all this, I'm just
you're doing it. Yeah, I know you're doing it. You're doing it anyway. Yeah. Yeah,
they
I get
had
it.
A 3-0 lead in Game Five, and that slips away too. So
yeah, so it was right. Yeah, Leon Durham. Yeah, the ball surprised. Mm-hmm. That was the highest and lowest moment of my Cub fandom. Was June 23rd being the highest moment when Ryne Sandberg hits the walk off home run to win the game, mm-hmm. in the 11th inning, and then the lowest moment was when the ball goes between Leon Durham's legs, and it was like, and my roommate, I was in college, my roommate Bob was from St. Louis. He was
rooting for the Cardinals.
Could not have been happier when the ball goes, and it was like, ha 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 ha, you're not going to the World Series. And then, of course, the Cardinals fans will always tell you, Bob, as you know, because you understand that you're the Yankees of the National League. And then I don't want to keep hearing that.
Well,
you know what? I don't understand the kind of fandom that hates on the other team unless there's some. I mean, I understand bad blood right now between Texas and Toronto because there was a fight and hit out. I understand that in the short term. Okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe I even understand Red Sox and Yankees, although that really got out of hand when you had 10 and 11-year-old kids shouting obscenities and wishing evil fates upon players on the other teams. But the St. Louis-Chicago, the Cub-Cardinal rivalry, has generally been a friendly rivalry. And I get it if you're playing against your team. Then you're rooting for your team. But if I were a Cardinal fan right now, I would be rooting for the Cubs to get to the World Series. You got to have lots of friends from Chicago. You got to have lots of friends that are like halfway between St. Louis and Chicago.
Sure, I do.
I think that's true. And I would think a lot of America would root for the Cubs this year.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And the Cardinals are, to me, because they come from, you know, it's the NL Central. And that's, you know, I always, listen, I even root, I'm going to say something incredibly insane here, but I even root for the Green Bay Packers when they're in the playoffs because they come from the NFC North. It's just if we didn't, because they're, you know, it's a terrible rivalry. It's a bloodlusty kind of rivalry, but it still is when it happens though. Mm-hmm. You know, when if it's not going to be us, it might as well be them. And you know, because especially if they've beaten us twice in the season,
I feel better about that.
Here's an example. I could see in the early 90s, I could see Bulls fans rooting against the Pistons when the Pistons got to the finals a couple of times and won, because it really was an intense and bitter rivalry, the Jordan rules and all that kind of stuff, and it got rough, and there were legitimate hard feelings between the Pistons and the Bulls. I could see that, but I just can't see anybody rooting against the Cubs except if they're playing your team. I can see Giant fans rooting against them. I can see if they get to the World Series and you're a Red Sox fan and the games are at Fenway, I can see rooting for the Red Sox. But everybody ought to have a soft spot for the Cubs.
Even White Sox fans you're seeing. And the president himself said, hey, I'm a White Sox fan, but look. No, what do you mean, please?
Oh, please.
I think that they are at this point. Even you heard Wendy earlier.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're not in it.
White Sox fans are very bitter, Bob. Hey, I want to ask you, what do you think is the better story here? Do you think I'm counting my chickens, but just go with me for hypothetically.
Yeah.
Okay.
If the Cubs were to end up in the World Series, is it a better story that they play Boston because of the Theo Epstein connection and the long-standing drought that they had, and then they won the Curse of the Bambino, blah, 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 blah. Or Cleveland, because Cleveland now is the second longest drought behind the Cubs in Major League Baseball, and, you know, is a team that it seems to be a bit of destiny as well.
No disrespect toward Cleveland, because they would be a heck of a story, and they are the second longest drought, 1948.
Right.
I remember doing the 1997 World Series between the Marlins and the Indians, and it got to Game 7, and the game was tied. In fact, it went to extra innings. And I said, meaning no disrespect toward the Marlins or fans in South Florida, but they've been in existence for 5 years, and I said, there are people in Cleveland who've been waiting for this for half a century, and there are people in South Florida who've been waiting for this since Thursday. That somehow,
well, that does sum it up.
You know, for such a good-natured nice guy, I have a propensity for ticking people off sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway, that didn't sit well with some Marlin fans. But I still think I had the basic vibe right. But having said that, while the Cubs in the World Series would be a great story no matter what, it becomes a national story. It transcends baseball fans. They'll be talking about it on the nightly news. It'll get huge television ratings. I think the highest possible ratings and the highest possible interest is Red Sox Cubs because of the rich history of both franchises and because of the venues, the two oldest parks in the majors, Fenway and Wrigley.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that Cleveland park, unfortunately, I had to use the restrooms there quite a bit during the Republican National Convention while we were covering
it.
But it was the only place to get outside the security. You weren't even outside the security perimeter, but it was just easier. The lines were shorter there.
Especially in the neutral gender bathrooms.
Yes.
Especially
well, that was at the Democrat.
Oh,
the Republicans didn't have that.
That's right.
But it is a beautiful park. Cleveland, they've done it. That's a really nice,
it was gorgeous,
you know, sort of sports complex area that they built there in downtown Cleveland.
When they first built Jacobs Field, and the Indians had a very good team in the mid-90s, they were selling the place out. They had some 300 consecutive sellouts, and then they went through a drought. Even when they had a contending team, you didn't see every seat filled. Maybe if they get deep into the playoffs this year, that'll turn that around.
Yeah. Speaking of playoffs, I saw a lot of people talking about the Giants-Mets yesterday, Cubs fans in particular, like, you know, we weren't sure, do we want the Giants, do we want the Mets? You know, people were going back and forth on social media and such, talking about who might be better to face over the Cubs. I guess the other question, though, here, Bob, and speaking of changes to the playoffs.
What better source of insight, forgive me for interrupting, what better source of insight on any given subject is there
than social media? I think the anxiety of Cubs fans in general, I think you see it there more than anywhere. You know, it's like you feel the fame. And, you know, how the way they feel,
right.
Not necessarily good baseball analysis. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the playoffs, do you think the wild card should be one game? Do you think that makes sense still? Or would you make a change to that situation?
You know, it has been so often in its brief history, so often dramatic. And this year, back-to-back nights, incredibly dramatic, Orioles and Blue Jays. And then what happened last night between the Giants and the Mets. I don't think there's any turning back. I think they like the one-game idea. You could make a logical case for best two out of three with all three on the home field of the wild card with a better record, but I would rather see, if they're going to change anything and it's just one thing, I'd rather see it be what we discussed before, which is to take that first round after the wild card, the division series, change it from best of five to best of seven. It would be more legitimate.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, the best of five is meant. And you're right, there's something. The sudden death nature of the single game play-in is really baseball is a funny. They're talking about, you know, tinkering a little bit with some of the rules of baseball, and they've already kind of done it right with replay and you know now where the umpire has to get on the headset. At least they didn't give him like that little confessional that the NFL gave to their officials.
Right.
But they've got, you know, and then it's always awkward where the guy is, you know, standing there and he's like kind of staring off into space with the headphones on. I think there may be more to come, but I agree with you to make the playoffs more legitimate. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, we in Chicago, we tend to turn our attention elsewhere in October, but
this year.
It's going to be for a while too with the Cubs, and you know, who knows, we'll see what happens with the Sox. All right, Bob. All right, here's your deal. Let me just remind people of this. Bob Costas, John Smoltz, and Ken Rosenthal will be calling the Saturday night game between the Giants and the Cubs at Wrigley Field at 7 p.m. exclusively on MLB Network. Now, check your cable or satellite listings to find the MLB Network, but it will be available to you. At AT&T, UVerse, Comcast, Xfinity, Cox, DirecTV, Dish Network, Frontier, and RCN, they all have it. So whatever you got there. They've got it, and you'll be able to see that game. It's the only place you're going to be able to see it. So, and that's it. And, of course, having Bob Costas, now that Vin Scully has left the broadcast booth, and I think you and I will agree that he's was the greatest living baseball announcer of all times. or the greatest living baseball announcer, I should say. Bob Costas now becomes the greatest living baseball announcer. Is that
fair? Well, that's very nice, but there's no disagreement about Vin Scully being the greatest baseball announcer of all time, both in terms of the excellence of his work and the uniqueness of the longevity and the circumstances surrounding his career and spanning both coasts, and the historic nature of both the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the fact that literally he will have called games played by players whose careers began in the 1930s and those whose extended into the 2030s. He will have called games played in by players separated by a full century. Nobody is connected to more of baseball history, no player, no executive, no broadcaster, than Vin Scully. So he's unquestionably number one. I'm not sure where I fall on the list.
You're there.
In the 80s, you know, back in the Sandberg game days in the 80s and 90s, when I was doing it more regularly and I had my A game, I think I might have been up there somewhere, and I hope I can find that A game for Saturday night.
I'm really
looking forward to the game at Wrigley.
My favorite. Other than Vin Scully and, of course, you know, our beloved mutual friend Harry Carey and Jack Buck.
Those guys were great,
and Mel Allen, of course. But I think you're right up there. So, Bob, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
To be in that group anywhere is great. Thank you,
Bob Costas. See him Saturday night on your TV. Thanks, Bob.
Exciting times.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
You too, Bob. Yeah, go Cubs.
Do you think that he has access to the celebration room?
I'm surprised you didn't ask that.